Hootie Hoot.
Part three.
Well, assuming the recording works out, your audio sounds great. So I think we got a good app.
All right. At least we got that figured out. I don't have CEO-itis.
When I did the episode with Van, it switched up all the audio. So, like, you'd hear his response, and then I'd ask a question, and it made no schizophrenic as shit.
I want to try to mute my mic to take this bong hit real fast, but I'm not sure if it'll work again if I unmute it.
Take the bong hit on air. I'll tell the story to the kids.
All right, sounds good. I like using it as a bed.
So I went to go try and do stand-up the other day, and one thing I've realized about not doing stand-up is that going to the open mics, it, like, inoculated the poison in my veins. Or, like, it would kind of rein me in to be around normal people, to see how normal people react to humor, and to be around, like, the pressure system of the...
Yeah, underneath the scrutinous eye of open mic comedy.
Whereas just doing online shows, it's like, I just keep going darker and darker, and there's nobody there to tell me no or not to. And, like, it's going to be weird going back, because I'm just going to, like, want to scream the N-word. And be like, George Floyd!
I'm not sure if the demographic of people you perform comedy for is going to like that.
Yeah. And I'm not dying to say the N-word. I'm just saying, well, like, faggot is something I want to say all the time.
I was thinking about that the other day. Why am I so okay with not letting faggot go? Like, when I hear, like, people like Doug Stanhope doing sets where they're like, I'm gonna just say faggot, I don't care, it's a good word. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad he's doing that. Like, why do I feel that? Because I really don't hate gay people. I enjoy the prospect of a nice threesome. I'm not opposed to homosexuality taking place.
Similar to the N-word, like, what it means to us is not what it means to, you know, the hall monitors of the world that are looking for everybody's feelings. You know, like, I grew up on black comedy and black movies. To me, it's like, I write bits in my head with a whole lot of, like, nigga, why?
Because that really does open up the floodgates. So it's like, okay, well, what offends you, you know? Like, I said the word transvestite the other day around a girl that I met on the fucking dating app, and she got all offended. She's like, the term is transgendered. I'm like, what's really the difference? I don't understand. She's like, well, transvestite used to be the medical term. I'm like, so it means they're transgendered then. So we're saying the same exact thing. I was like, did I call them a fucking dirty transvestite? That's not what I said.
Dyke to me feels like a dirty word, but I guess it's like the right word, but I feel like I'm saying a swear when I say
so it. I don't hang out with a lot of gay men, but I've hung out with a ton of dykes in my life. Dykes have always gravitated towards me. That's part of why I guess I'm so into the idea of a threesome. But
as far as company goes, I like dudes, and dykes.
Those, yeah, exactly.
People I enjoy hanging out with.
And every dyke I've ever been friend with, and I'm only using the word because they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm a big dyke. They'll just say it because they're dudes. So they don't give a fuck. So you can't even take that word away because fucking lesbians don't even care if they get called dykes because they're too busy scissoring.
Let me tell you, you just transitioned right back into our Joe Rogan conversation.
That's why they call me the fucking production kid, you know. Let's go.
Do you know who is mad at him now? It's
God.
And I will make you look like a thumb, a muscly dumb thumb. And I will make you the most scrutinized person on the earth. And you try to be your authentic dumb self in front of him.
Yeah, he thinks he can just keep saying, like, I'm just a dumb guy forever, and that people are going to let him slide as he makes more and more billions of dollars.
Well, when he had that Honey Tree band on, he, like, got wasted and did shrooms and smoked weed. And, like, I was like, Joe, do you think that's what he can get it out of your system? They must have told you, party it up.
I still don't understand. The dumbest man in the world does a podcast, openly smokes weed on it and talks about legalization for weed, moves to the strictest place in America for weed.
He's assuming big money, he could do anything.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day when there's a raid on the Joe Rogan podcast and someone ambiguous like fucking who's that conspiracy dude he always has on.
Well, thankfully he's in a red state. Like, if I promise you, if Biden wins the Joe, if Biden wins because of a Joe Rogan podcast, Joe's gonna be the first person to get popped.
Oh, that's funny too. He is kind of seen as pro-Trump, so he thinks maybe they won't fuck with him. That's kind of him acknowledging then that, hey, I'm pro-Trump.
He's not necessarily pro-Trump, but he's definitely anti-Biden. And we're going to get to Ye.
We all first, should be.
Let's talk about Spotify made a big deal this year about how trans they are and how many trans employees they have and how they've reconsidered their healthcare system to include operations for trans people.
Oh, no.
And now the trans in Spotify, you know, they fought for this revolution. They're not going to be quiet because you gave them a job. They want oversight over Joe Rogan's podcast to decide guests and to fact check and edit his podcast before it goes out. And their head vampire is this guy named like Brad Broom or something like that. He's threatening that all the trans people at Spotify will go on strike and link up with activist groups.
I like how Joe Rogan really, really thinks like he's the guy that figured out how big corporate contracts work. Like he knows all the details of his contract. Like why don't you have a talk with Kanye West about how contracts work and get back to me, Joe Rogan? I'm pretty sure. If you're getting $100 million, I don't think you have the power you think you have.
You thought they were just giving you $100 million? If they have $100 million to give, then they have a lot more than $100 million.
To spend on, yeah, things to crush you.
Now they're trying to get Howard Stern, but all this bad Joe Rogan press I think will probably scare Stern off. Especially since I have like 48 minutes of him in black tape secretly recorded for a podcast one day.
I think that came out a few months ago, and I think it just kind of blew over.
We were going to do a special Ross Dog episode. So I went and I screen recorded all of it into a montage. And it's just sitting there as an unlisted file for maybe one day a very special episode. So Joe is fucked. He's just in hell right now. The pressure's coming down on him. The head guy, Brad, whatever, I went to tweet at him and I couldn't find him on Twitter. So I hashtagged him and I was like, hey, Spotify, I'm glad you employ such brave people as blah, blah, blah. He said Joe Rogan on a scale of 0 to brain cancer is like a 4. And I was like, my grandmother died of brain cancer, so glad you have employees like that. Hashtag cancel Spotify.
But here's the thing. Pandora is garbage. So Spotify should feel like, I hate these corporations that crumble. Like, Spotify should feel pretty secure in that, like, people are going to still listen to Spotify. The people that have Spotify aren't buying and selling their music subscriptions based on what Joe Rogan's up to.
They got to do something to compete with YouTube Music.
That's true. That's what I pay for, is YouTube Music.
So I would assume like the difference between like Spotify and Tidal is Tidal only has like registered artists. And you can't just like be a Tidal artist. Like Jangs and Thangs can't put an LP up on Tidal, Ganny.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I've never tried. I've seen services that claim they can get your music on Tidal. So possibly.
So let's tie this into Kanye. The last thought I had on Joe is there's a movie Chris Rock did called I Think I Love My Wife, which was actually like cool before fucking Chris Rock sold out. And here, I'm going to put a pin on that and go to a different question. All right, Chris I'm going to put a Rock question movie. In my question. When did you realize comedy was kind of finished? And I'll tell you for me, I was watching this documentary on Chris Rock. And he apologized for his old jokes. And I was like, oh, we're done. If Chris is up there.
When Louis C.K. started doing the Hillary Clinton shit.
Same.
Is when I knew. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
They've turned. Yeah. Pivotal moments.
Yeah, shit's been gay since at least 2016. But since before that, I think I was just thinking it was funny. Like thinking comedy was good. Because all the comedy that I like is pretty much before 2012. Well, when I actually started listening.
When there was like Tough Crowd and Opie and Anthony, it felt like there was this like movement toward real shit. And even like the admiration of the Mark Marins and Joe Rogans, who were kind of part of it, being like, yeah, there's real comedy. Like, you got to support real ass, real comedy. You know dude?
When I was a little kid, like 8, I used to watch Premium Blend in awe and used to think that everyone on there was so funny and so cool. And now I just look at comedy and I'm like, was I an idiot? I mean, I was a little kid. So is comedy for little kids? That's what I've been thinking. Are jokes for little babies?
It doesn't have to be. But the comics have to do something. So Chris Rock in this movie, I Think I Love My Wife, there's a scene where like he's like an accountant and like the head of the company calls him in and he's like, put a quarter on the table. And he's like, now imagine this entire table is full of quarters. How many would it be? And he's like, I don't know, like 1,000. He's like, what you bring to this company is 1/4. And I'm the rest of the corporation. So if you're going to make my life a headache, I can lose your quarter. So don't feel like you bring so much to this company that we ever need you.
Yeah, that's the where I love Kanye so much and where he loses me is literally when he's like, I'm going to start wearing Jordans until they put me on the board of Adidas. I'm like, Kanye, I don't think that they really like you playing hardball with him like that. Adidas is the reason why you have FU money. It's not your music. Adidas is the reason why you have all that money. So,
well, I guess maybe he's on the board now, right?
Is he? Then fuck me. Kanye is a genius. I don't know.
He's also, I think, officially the richest black man.
Well, that's possible. Yeah, because who else? Michael Jordan? He's talking about athletes have fucked up contracts too. And then with Travis Scott doing the McDonald's thing, I'm like, oh, Travis Scott is trying to pull a Kanye. Well, he's trying to make some money that's not dictated by like normal corporate contracts. Like a shoe deal or something like that is way more lucrative for whatever reason. Because I think there's a percentage, there's actually a product that you can track versus like, we deem you're worth this much, so we're paying you this much arbitrarily.
We know from experience, like we've been promoting the Ian Ellis name pretty fucking hardcore for the last 2 years. And we've had a lot of amazing successes, but it's still like pulling teeth to get people in. And that's the value of the deal is like you literally can't buy what advertising can give you as far as like co-signing you and putting you out there is like, this is a new artist. Everybody learned their
name. Front page of all the websites. Everyone's tweeting about it all the same day. All that shit is all very choreographed.
Now, I assume that these artists that were like, I'm an artist, had the sense to go into it like, I'm gonna get that bump because I need it. There's just like no two ways around it. It's almost impossible to be organic. And then as soon as my contract's done, I'm just gonna go independent. Because then once you're a name, you're a name. Like, unless they disgrace you, what is this fucking battle for masters? Why do they give a fuck about the masters?
I think it's just off the principle of how much money the songs make. Like, I imagine Kanye made so much money off of selling Yeezys, but his songs probably made that money multiple times over. He just didn't see any of it. So when he really has someone sit him down and crunch the numbers for him and be like, yeah, well, Kanye, I know you made $300 million selling shoes, but you see, if you do the math, you sold over 1.5 billion records. And each of those records, if you were only giving $2 cut would mean you would have $3 billion. And I'm sure Kanye just fucking explodes at the idea of that he had 30 million instead of 3 billion.
So his contract was like, once he was signed, he was able to sign up other artists where he took 50% of their deal. And he announced today that he's giving back those artists their masters. But Joe Budden, who ties into this in a couple different ways, he said that when he was talking to Spotify, the deal they gave him was like, we'll give you this much, and each artist you bring in, you can have 50% of their revenue as a Spotify artist.
So they've essentially, all the rappers have gotten conned into a multi-level marketing scheme without realizing it.
And it's spreading to the podcast game. And thank God all these rappers right now are being like, nah, fuck this shit. Thank God Kanye's taking the charge and going like, we changing the way we do artistry from now on.
Well, if I could speak for myself as a member of the With Apologies team, I would just like to say it's still pretty early in this podcast shit. We just have Joe Rogan. We have a lot of famous rappers that are millionaires. So, I mean, you know, if you guys are handing out contracts, I'll take one of the first contracts. This contract's going around.
Yeah.
As all this shit we're talking, I say if they offer With Apologies something mainstream, I say we take the contract. Well, say, like, fuck it.
Mark Maron.
Okay. Mark, you Maron asked for it.
Started to set up his own app where it's like, if you bought the app, you got all of the archives and he would do like an exclusive episode once in a while. And he just literally was too fucking lazy to do it. And I was like, the money you would have got from that has to be infinitely more than you're getting from fucking Sherry's Berries or whatever horseshit you're hawking.
But I mean, I balk at the idea that like they even need more money. Like if Luis J. Gomez is making the money that I've been led to believe that he's making at his level, then I got to think that someone like Mark Maron and Joe Rogan, their Sherry's Berries ads got to be worth a lot of money.
Oh well,
and I don't see what else you need. I mean, if you do a theater show, what are you expecting to make doing a theater show? More than like $100,000? If you make $100,000 doing one show and you're Joe Rogan, you're a fucking, you better thank your lucky stars. And so if you're doing $100,000 an episode every week.
Oh no. Did I lose you? I'm gonna stop. Hootie-ho.
That happened because I let my phone screen lock.
Guys, I apologize. This Anchor app is a great idea, but we're still working out the kinks.
But anyways, I don't see why these podcasters need any more money. It seems like they're getting a pretty good deal compared to all the other celebrities. They get shitty contracts.
Well, that's part of the Adjustment Bureau conversation I want to have with Nick Mullen, where he's making way more money than most comics make. Well, maybe not most. Like Joe Rogan allegedly was making like $30 million a year just off of YouTube. But you have what any reasonable person would consider to be fuck it money. So since you have fuck it money and talent, would you please be so kind as to be a villain for comedy and to actually just say fuck it and go do your gangster shit without the industry? Can you blaze that trail? I know you're busy, you got stuff to do, but I would appreciate it if you guys with fuck it money would act like it and fucking do some gangster shit.
We saw what Anthony Kumi. One thing I learned from that whole scenario is that people that are talent aren't necessarily designed to be the people that should be in charge of the money, because the Compound Media Network is garbage.
Kind of what I was trying to say to Lewis, where I was like, Lewis legitimately wanted him to quit comedy, but I think that him as the guy that like makes sure that these different people are doing specials and make sure that, you know, shit is happening, as that guy, he's great for the blood flow of comedy. Like, he's an important character in the bloodstream of this whole thing.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is when everyone goes private, like the Gas Digital Network having to pay for it and stuff like that. I mean, I know some of the episodes come out on YouTube, but it's just something about it where it's too inconvenient of a thing.
So Mike David's just going to be the only one that ever does it. And he doesn't even have like a quarter of the resources of these other guys.
And even he realized, he's like, I got to start making YouTube clips because
I got to bring this up to date.
Yeah, this shit, I need some ad revenue. And these subscriptions are not, they're there, but they're not growing. They're just there.
Yeah, he doesn't have ad revenue, but it certainly is an ad to bring people into his, paywall.
Yeah, I've never seen more people say, like, I just started listening to Red Bar. Usually no one knows who he is.
So Kanye's trying to get his master's back. Apparently not running for president right now. His wife, right now, I guess there's a big thing where all the celebrities are quitting social media. And I thought I heard on the news that she'd quit Twitter.
I have no idea.
It was like breaking news. Kim Kardashian. I don't know if she quit it or if she probably just like suspended it for a week. Imagine it's too important to her.
I'm sure she just hit it or something.
There's a lady comic that was calling out Brian Callen. We're calling out the comedy clubs that were giving him gigs. Jen Kirkman. She was also one of the people that sounded off on Louis. One of Louis's victims. And Brian Callen started clapping back, threatening to sue people, and she immediately put her Twitter to private, which is, this is the second time she's done it, where she came out and she shamed all the male comedians for not speaking up, and then as soon as she started getting some heat, she was like, ah, run away.
Well, something about the heat. I don't know. I don't know what they do to you.
Can't take the smoke.
You don't want the smoke, stupid.
I get it. It's certainly shitty and frustrating, but I look at negative comments are usually like two categories of like, sometimes they're funny and that's great. And then other times it's like, oh, this person just clearly has no idea what the fuck they're talking about. And they're just like, you know, white knighting or spazzing out on behalf of, you know, their person that they care about.
You think
so? You should let both of those like roll off your back. Like I it would be really difficult to make a comment stick. Like, of course nobody knows who the fuck you are.
You know how like they used to just smoke cigarettes on TV. Like in there used to be ads for cigarettes and they banned that because cigarettes is bad for you. It makes you almost thankful Trump is president, because if he wasn't, it almost feels like they would make being offensive like an old-timey mean thing that you're not supposed to do at all anymore. Like as if you're smoking a cigarette. Like shows, literally the shows with people talking about races other than their own and anything like that, all that stuff is just banned now. Like it feels like it would be banned if we had...
My buddy Democrats. T. Murph is on a very successful Hulu show that is called Woke. Name of the show is Woke.
Yeah, I saw that on there, and a girl was like, you want to watch this? I was like, there's no way this is good. She's like, I've heard about this. I don't think it's about like what you think it is about the name. We watched it for not even 3 minutes. The bitch was like, okay, this is obvious. This is exactly what she said it was going to be. My bad. And we had to turn it off.
I saw a trailer that had all kinds of like animation and shit in it. And I was like, I don't know, maybe it is cool, but I have not checked it out.
I couldn't get into it. That and Cuties missed my radar.
You know what?
Didn't have the time.
When it first came out, I thought it was like a documentary about these pageants, which are real. And then when I found out, it's like, no, it's a movie. It's like a million times grosser to me. They're having kids do this shit.
Yeah, because they're not even exposing it. They're doing it. You made it. You made them twerk. Congratulations. I hope you're proud of yourself. And the other thing that's weird is people, the SJWs are going to at one point have to figure out their line in the sand between like national politics and whatever you consider woke to be. Because this is a French movie. In France, if this is wrong, someone's going to get so mad, but I remember the consent age in France being 15, and they have a movie with that famous movie you talked about the other day on Apologies with 12-year-old titties in it. And I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube. You can just watch it. 12-year-old titties, it's right on YouTube. They don't even censor it.
I think their age of consent, I feel like remembering it was like 13, and like they're supposed to be so much more sophisticated about the sexuality. You're so prude, America.
So they're literally a country that glorifies sex with young girls, and they're making a movie about it. And you're going, well, it's not what you think it is. It's what they do. It's like Japanese, it's like anime. I watch anime, and I just kind of have to grin and bear it that two animes are going to have a female protagonist that's well under the age of the male protagonist reason.
All of the girls look like they're in high school, and then I get uncomfortable with like the overly buff gay guy thing that is in every goddamn anime.
Yeah, that's another weird thing. That's just their culture, though, and you're never going to make anime stop doing that. So you either have to ban anime in America, or you have to admit, like, there are situations where my sensibilities aren't priority.
Well, so right now, these things are running up against big business, like the Spotify trans thing. And so now we're going to see, like, well, how much power do you really have? Are you really changing anything, or did you just get co-opted by business? Because that's just what they do. They just eat up whatever the trend is, own it to sell some fucking coffee, and then move on to the next thing. Yeah, I'm interested to see the war.
Loading up my bong.
Well, I feel like we've podcasted enough. Joe Button's going nuts. He's mad at Charlemagne the God. I saw Royce da 5'9" is mad at DJ Vlad for insulting Farrakhan. And he came on and he had like a bright pink tongue and the juiciest lips. I was like, Roy.
I love rap beef, but that's also hilarious for different reasons.
It's such a funny mixed message because Royce is talking to DJ Vlad and he's like, my mans, I know why you won't insult Rick Ross again, because you know these streets, he's going to catch you with these hands. I know you understand the violence of the streets. Now, I'm not saying this has to be the violence of the streets, but you know he's wrong. And, you know, but, you know, hip-hop is balanced because, like, there is hit songs like Sister and Lean, but there's also hit songs like J. Cole, and it balances out the culture. And I was like, you guys have such a conflict in your things right now where, it's like, you love Farrakhan and you love Lean and you love the streets. Like, it's embarrassing to me to see, like, a 40-something-year-old man, like, I beat your motherfucking ass.
You come correct when you speaking about me.
I'm like, Royce, you're not out there cripping, man. You're a famous rapper. You're a lyricist.
I like that. Lyricist.
Fuck up.
demeaning. Like an insult.
All right, guys. This has been the Ian Ellis Podcast. Special guest, Billy Boo. What channel should they check out? Because we got a lot of shit dropping.
The Ian Ellis LLC is always a good channel for new Ian Ellis news. And the Chicago Open Mic channel has old stuff for people that are new. And I mean really old stuff.
This Sunday, we have an explosive Rob Ford tape. We're going to watch the full 30 minutes. CO and I both went and ripped the file just in case it gets pulled off of YouTube. Is that controversial? I have Adam from Cumtown performing WAP, as well as some other choice Adam clips, since you've decided to run away, Adam. You want to fight with the Red Scarf podcast? You want to fight with a couple of girls? Would you go put your tail between your legs? And other than that, we'll see you guys on Sunday at Philip Wave on Twitter.